so much for the privilege and the honor. You know, and I confess it, I have nothing to offer anybody. That's why I beg that your Holy Spirit would reveal the scriptures to all of us, and that we would be fed, we'd be encouraged, we'd be, feel strengthened. If we need to be humbled, humble us, God, with love. And so I ask, God, that you would help us to be focused 110% upon your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So here it's very clear. He says, it's a brand new calendar. Now the thing is, they were already going off of the Egyptian calendar. After 450 years, they're pretty much accustomed to the way Egypt had their year and their celebrations. What kind of celebration do you think they had? Pagan celebrations. Things that were completely opposed to God. And so now the Lord's saying, no, I'm going to bring something new into your lives. You're going to start a brand new year. And oh, how that blesses me. And every new year, seriously, since I think I've ever started teaching, every new year, it's been the same message for me, that I love how the Lord gives us these new chapters in life, because we need them. We need them. Oh, we need them. In Lamentations, it says, you can write it down, 3:22 and 23, that His mercies are new every what? Morning. Brand new every single morning. Now, the reason why I really love that, I know you have to share it, is I always say this. Imagine if your day never ended. Imagine if we never had night. It was just one long, continual day. That would be a bummer. You know why? I mess up in a day. I mess up a couple times in a day. And don't you want that day, when you've had a bad day, don't you want it to end? You're just like, I just can't wait for this day to be over. Right? And there's some hope. There's this little bit of hope that it says, tomorrow I can do better. Today is done. I just want to lock myself in my room. Don't talk to anybody. Turn off the lights and go to bed. And we have that slight hope that tomorrow is going to be another opportunity. Now imagine if it didn't end. Imagine that you would just stay in that same situation. You'd just be like, walking in condemnation, but a brand new morning is like a new chance. And that's why I love that verse. But not only are His mercies brand new every day, that's rad, but He even has given us a calendar that has months, weeks, and weeks, saying, if this day wasn't good, maybe tomorrow. But you know what? Maybe that week wasn't good. Maybe we just had a bad week. Well, the week starts again on Sunday. We can actually repeat a whole new week. Do you know what I mean? So it's like when you have a couple of days, it just kind of helps to have those separations. And then if that whole week was horrible, well, guess what? I still have a whole new month the Lord's going to give me. And then, if that whole month is horrible, if your year was bad, we can say, the Lord's going to give me a brand new year. I bet right now there's a bunch of you that are probably saying, I just want this year to be over. It's something mentally, really. I really believe that there's something that, we kind of make those, what are they called? Resolutions, right? And, you know, we're good for a couple months, or maybe some of us just do a couple weeks, but it does give us some hope to kind of refresh and whatever, even though if we're going to fall back in the same routine or whatever, but it really does change. And so it's really awesome to know that the Lord would say, Hassan, I know what your year was like. I know all the struggles. I know everything. You know what? You get another chance. You get a whole new year. Lord willing, right? Lord willing, He gives me life, and Lord willing, we still have that time ahead of us. But hopefully we can grab hold of this. And if He's saying this to them, it's because He wants them to enter a brand new chapter. Now, we're going to see really clearly that He's going to say, hey, listen, don't forget where you came from. And He repeats it and repeats it and repeats it and repeats it. Not in the sense of condemning them, like, oh, man, you should have seen who you were. No, so that they can enjoy the newness that they're going to be walking in. And not just that, we're going to see that all of this is pointing to Jesus Christ, the ultimate rest. Because that is our ultimate rest. This is, the days are cool, brand new days and brand new weeks, that's cool. But our ultimate rest is in Jesus Christ. And that's forever. We've already entered that once we've given our lives over to Him. So, He says this. Now let's go to verse 3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. 4. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of the persons, according to each man's need. You shall make your count for the lamb. So now they have to choose a lamb, and we already know where this is going. But when they choose this lamb, there's something that we're going to find out, is that they have to have some time with this lamb. This lamb is going to be part of the family for a couple days, for about approximately 4 days. Now that has a purpose. It has a purpose because they're going to sacrifice this lamb. You see, it's a lot easier to go to a store to just buy a lamb the day of a sacrifice and then sacrifice it. There's no attachment to it. But when you have a lamb, maybe some of us aren't dog lovers or ever don't want a dog, but when you see a puppy, you want to keep it. Because a puppy's just like, oh my goodness, look at this, it's beautiful. And everyone's tempted to keep the puppy just because they're so cute. Even if you're not a dog guy, everyone loves puppies. Now imagine this lamb, this harmless lamb, here you have it in your presence. You're going to take care of it. You're going to nurture it, knowing that one day you're going to sacrifice it. It's like, man, that's pretty messed up. Why would the Lord do that? Why would he say, take in this lamb? Why do you have to have this in the presence of the family? Why do you guys have to be attached to it? Because we know that this lamb is obviously a representation of Jesus Christ. It's something that's innocent, that's been part of our family, something pure, and then it has to be sacrificed. And we know this has happened. When we lived, some of you guys have been out to the ranch when we were in Las Palmas, and we had animals there. We had a cow there one time, and the kids gave it a name. I'm like, don't do that, son. Don't give it a name, because we eaten that guy. And it does, it's hard. But they get it, once you give it a name, they get attached to it, and it's like, no, you can't do that. And so this lamb, once they bring it into the family, it's like, we're going to sacrifice this lamb? What is that about? And it's all points to Jesus Christ. And yes, the lamb is not just an impersonal thing. It's something intimate, special. And so right now he's preparing that for the Hebrews. So it's very completely symbolic of Jesus Christ, of the ultimate deliverance, because it's one thing to leave Egypt, but it's another thing to be forgiven of your sins, to be able to confess your sins and have something to take your spot for that judgment that awaits you. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. So we all know this. It has to be without blemish, no defects. The lamb has to be perfect in every way. And it's obvious that this is a symbolic gesture of Jesus Christ, who was without sin. Now, we can say, well, son, yeah, we know that. We know what the Bible says. We know the Bible says that Jesus was without sin. I remember when I was a kid, and I don't know if you guys have heard kind of the same things. I had this mentality that Jesus wasn't perfect. Whenever someone would mess up, people would say, well, Jesus wasn't perfect. Was I the only one? Has anyone heard people say that? Just like nonchalantly? No one's heard that? I'm the only one? Okay.